So this morning, this difficult text, which is so important for every Christian to truly understand, because if you understand this text, you might be tormented a little bit, but if you don't understand it, you're going to be tormented a whole lot. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good morning and welcome to the Sunday broadcast of Love Never Fails. Let's get right into the message this morning and join Pastor Bill as he continues his series, Real Life, from the New Testament epistle of 1 John. Today's message is titled, Real Children of God, Part 2.
Amen. You know, John the Apostle, what a great man of God. What I like about John is, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when you get older, people that are a little older, you'll probably identify, you kind of just say it like it is. When you get older, you just kind of just say it like it is because you just, hey, that's the way it is. I don't need to put butter on it and spread it out thin and soften it. Amen. So when John, when he talks, there's no neutral ground with John. He's an old apostle. He knows the Lord intimately. He's the last one that was ever with the Lord God in the flesh. Amen. Watched him ascend, worked with him for three and a half years. And he says that you're either in light or you're in darkness. You're either walking as he walked or you're not walking as he walked. So this morning, this difficult text, which is so important for every Christian to truly understand, because if you understand this text, you might be tormented a little bit, but if you don't understand it, you're going to be tormented a whole lot. Amen? And it's important that you see that. So this is Real Children of God, Part 2 from last Sunday. Remember the theme of John, 1 John 5:20, that we know him who is real. We're in him who is real. And we've already studied real fellowship, real love, and how to walk in the light and all the rest of those things. Last Sunday, we learned who we are. We also learned what we shall be, and we learn what we should be until he appears. Amen? In other words, we are, like it says in what, chapter 3, verse 3, let me just read it to you. Everyone who has this hope in him, meaning of Christ appearing, coming for us, purifies himself. So, man, our hope is when Jesus comes, we're going to see him and we're going to be like him. Amen? And we're going to purify ourselves now until he comes, meaning live a pure life until he arrives. Remember last Sunday, I learned a new word. I don't know if I can pronounce it correctly or not, but it doesn't matter. I don't pronounce anything correctly anyway. And that, what is it? Pura? Vida. Pura? Is that it? It's close enough. Vida. Pure life. Amen? Now listen, we learned all those things, and we learned that we can't purify ourselves. Amen? But the fact of the matter is we have the perfect example that we can follow after, and also we have the power of another living in us. Amen? Colossians 3:18, we're going from glory to glory, being conformed to the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit that's working in us. Amen? We know to walk in the light or walk in the light as he is in the light. If we say we abide in him, we walk as he walked and so forth. Now, with all that being said, this morning as we look to the second part of our message, again, John, the apostle of love, what a great man. He's direct. He doesn't water anything down, thank God. He doesn't soften anything for us. There's no debate here. There's not any tolerance. But there is one thing for sure. There is clear truth spoken in love. Amen? Now listen very carefully. Our Father, is he faithful? Man. God is faithful to his promises to all of us who believe. Amen? But did you know that God is also faithful to his promises to those who do not believe? Amen? Let me give you a scripture. Jesus said in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. That's a promise. Amen? Well, here's another promise from God. And he who does not believe in the Son, you will never see life. Think about that. Wow. But the wrath of God abideth upon you. So this morning, in this second part of the message, we're going to look at what sin is. We're going to look what sin does and how sin arrived upon this planet and also how sin is conquered, okay? Now, let's look first of all in verse 4 this morning, what sin is. John writes and he says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." If you study out the Word of God, you'll find that there's always more than one definition of sin in the New Testament. Matter of fact, there are several. We can look at Romans 14, 23. "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." What a word is that? How about James 4, 17? "He that knoweth to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." 1 John 5, 17, when we get to the last chapter, John writes, "All unrighteousness is sin." And then here we have God's definition of sin again in verse 4. He says, "Sin is lawlessness." What a word. Now, I want you to catch this. All sin, not some sin. All sin, no matter if we put a degree on sin, well, like murder is worse than lying. You follow me? There's no degree here. Sin is sin, okay? And he says, no matter the description, he says, or the degree of the sin, the fact of the matter is all sin is lawlessness. What does that mean, lawlessness? It means that before we were born again, we didn't know we were lawless at all. We didn't even know what that word meant unless we were speeding. You know what I'm saying? But to be lawless means this. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. No one tells me what to do. I live my life the way I think I should live it. I have my own set of rules, my own set of righteousness. I am free to act, think, and live any way I desire. That's lawlessness. No rules. Just do whatever you think. I make up my own rules. Loved one, sin is an act of disobedience against the known will of God. Amen? So we have to be careful. So you say, well, Bill, what is sin? Well, in the Greek, it's harmatia. And that word literally in the Greek just means to miss the mark, okay? So it's a picture, if you will. Let's say that there's a target behind me, like, you know, the bow and arrow, and you have a target with a bullseye. And so what it is, you pull back the bow and you let go of the arrow and you don't hit the bullseye, so you have missed the mark. It also means that you didn't make the goal. You didn't reach the goal that you wanted to reach, okay? So let's look at the Bible definition. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned," that's past tense, all, every person ever born, they have all miss the mark, it says. They've all sinned, and they fall short. They didn't reach the goal. They tried, but they didn't reach the goal of the glory of God, which is the end, which should be the end of our goal. Amen? Now, with all that being said, let's really try to picture this a different way. Let's play a new game. I created a new game, okay? This new game is called Jump. I heard it from Van Halen, okay? I didn't know who did that until somebody told me in the first service. I said, "Jump," and she said, "Oh, it's Van Halen." I said, "What?" Now, here's the deal. Here's our game. We are going to jump, take turns jumping from the promised land all the way over into the wilderness. In other words, we're going to jump from Fort Worth all the way to Dallas. Amen? That's what we're going to do. Now, here's the deal. Some of us are better equipped than others, so some of us are going to out-jump people, all right? But every person, no matter how good you are, how strong you are, how young and athletic you are, how muscles or whatever, you may outjump others, but you're still going to fail because you, nobody can jump from the promised land to hell or Dallas. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Can they? No, so we all fall short. We all miss the mark. That's what that word sins mean. But listen, we have someone in us. We have the pure one. We have Jesus, our Lord. We are born from above. And now, because of that, Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen? So it's one thing to say what sin is. It's another thing to learn from the Word of God what sin does. And we have all experienced what sin does. You know, God says this about what sin does. You ready? It says in Romans 3:9, God says, all are under sin. The word under in Greek is a military word. It means under the authority of another. Every person born on this planet since Adam was born under the rule and reign of sin. Amen? All because of what Adam and Eve did there in the garden. And so the whole human race are under sin, under the power of sin. And the problem is, you're born that way. You don't know that you're fallen like that. And you want maybe to even do better even though you're not born again. But the fact of the matter is, you have no power in yourself to win over sin if you don't know Christ. Amen? So you're under sin. There's no escape. Now, when we talk about what sin does, maybe later today you could read Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20, I believe it is, okay? And you're going to find in that text 14 horrible facts of what sin is and what sin does to the person. You know what? Let me just read it. That way, you know, because I know some of you may not read it when you get home. It says in Romans 3, 9, Paul the Apostle says to everyone, he says to a charge to the both Jews and Greeks, they are all under sin, all under the authority of sin, as this is written. You ready for what sin does? Here it is. There is none righteous, no, not one. Can you believe that? No one is righteous apart from Christ. It says, there is none who understands. There's no one that seeks after God. He says, they've all turned aside. They've all together become unprofitable. Now, you want to do a word study? Look up that word unprofitable. It doesn't just mean useless. It means it's a picture of a fruit that is rancid. It stinks. It's destroyed. You don't want anything to do with it. He says, there is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Oh, you got that on your refrigerator? Your throat is an open tomb. Every time you open your mouth, the smell and stench of death comes out. Is that a horrible picture? Man, he says, their tongues, they've practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction, misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I'm going to tell you, that is a horrible picture of what sin is and what sin does to an individual. No one seeks God. Amen? Is God a liar? No, no one seeks God. You know, Aquinas said this, man seeks the benefit of God while fleeing from the person of God. Boy, that's a true word. Do you know what we did because we were fallen before we came to Christ? You know what fallen man does? We didn't seek God. You know what we did? We saw whatever is false, we went after it. Amen? Because we were of the world. We thought like the world. Listen, we followed what was false. We trusted what was false. We built our life with what is false. We even defended what is false. And you know why? That's what sin does. And every member of the human race is born into sin and into death. And even as they grow up in this life, apart from Christ, they believe themselves to be a free individual. Because that is the only reality that they have ever experienced, because they are in Adam. And we know that sin and death was introduced into our world by one man, by Adam. Amen? And it says sin and death came. Now listen, man does not die today because of acts of sin. I mean, you can, of course, die from an act of sin by being crazy or out there and wrecking yourself or whatever. But what it means is that the reason we die is because of sin, because of Adam's sin. He's the federal head of the human race, if you will. Now, if you really think about sin, I mean, just dwell about it. You know, I mean, it's almost impossible, I believe it, no, it's totally impossible for me to even think or deny the existence of sin. For example, are all men liars? The Bible says everybody's lied. Amen? Think about that. That's a divine truth. From the time of Adam until this very moment, wherever you travel on this planet, to any country, any nation, any city, if man has been there, there was a lie that was told. Every person has lied. How much more information do we need? I mean, do you teach children how to lie? I mean, you think Thomas and Kaylee or Willa, come here, I want you to really impress Granddaddy. I want to teach you how to lie to him. Do you think that's, huh? No, you teach your children how to tell the truth. Why? Because they're fallen. Their nature is fallen. And it's in them that for what Adam did lives in those who are not born again. Now, that's exactly what sin does. So a sinner is not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. Amen? That's what sin does. So look at verse 4 again now. Whoever, no matter who you are, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin, there's a definition, is lawlessness, that rebellion against God, that defiance against God. But I want you to make sure that you understand this verse. Amen? So it doesn't say whoever struggles with sin. It doesn't say about those who, oh God, I sinned and I need to repent. Commit is present tense, continuous. It's talking about not a single act of sin. It's talking about the individual who lives an ongoing, continuous, habitual life of sin and delights in sin, delights in lawlessness. Now, what did Jesus tell us about lawlessness? In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, it's easy to say I'm a Christian, amen? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who doeth the will of God, my Father in heaven. Now he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? And then Jesus will declare unto them, I never knew you, meaning I know who you are. But there's no intimacy between you and me. We've not experienced one another. I never knew you. He says, depart from me, you who practice, that's an ongoing continuous, you who practice lawlessness, and lawlessness is sin. Amen? Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I say? Now, so real children of God, listen carefully, real children of God, they sin. Do you know that? They might not sin physically, but boy, up here, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's there. So what do we do if we sin? Well, we know it, and we confess our sin. 1 John 1:9, you know, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So we repent of that. But those who say, yeah, I'm a believer. Man, I have a great Bible, do study Bibles, you know, all this kind of stuff. I'm a Christian. But they live an ongoing, continuous lifestyle of sin. They literally enjoy living in sin. They even know they are living in sin, and they continue to live in sin. They are comfortable in sin. They have never, according to the Word of God, been born from above. They only have the talk. They do not have the walk. What did John say earlier in 1 John 1:6? If we say we have fellowship with him, intimacy with him, it says, and walk in darkness, which is an ongoing, habitual lifestyle of sin. It says, we lie. Our words are a lie. Our life is a lie. It says, we lie, and the truth is not in us, meaning the truth, meaning Jesus. We're not born from above because we don't practice the truth of God's word. The new birth, as we all know, loved one, it's not validated by what comes out of our mouth, is it? No. It's proven by the way that we live in this world. Now, look at verse 5. Let's look at how sin was conquered. And you know, meaning the readers know, and every generation of Christians should know, and you know that Jesus was manifested, or he appeared, that was in his incarnation when Jesus became flesh, born of a virgin. He was manifested to do what? Take away our, plural, our sins. And in him, there is absolutely no sin. So real children of God, they know the purposes, the purpose of Christ coming to this planet. Man, he came to take away our sins. The Father sent his only begotten Son. He loved the world so much into this world. He was born into this world, into a world filled with darkness, to take away our sins. Verse 5. You know, Luke told us in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save those that are lost. Amen? We know that Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, have it more abundantly. The devil comes, steal, kill, and destroy. We know that the angel said unto Joseph in Matthew 1:21, it said, you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Hebrews 1:3. He himself, after he had purged, cleansed forever our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty upon high. Amen? So he has taken away our sins. And then in verse 8, in a moment, we're going to find out that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, Jesus did something that we could never do, that we were incapable of doing for ourselves, and that is he took away all of our sins. I don't know how you feel about that, but that blesses me. I mean, they are gone. He has taken them away. Jesus declared on the cross in John 19:30, he says, it is finished. That word means the debt has been paid in full, completely, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus bore our sins on the tree. Not only that, he paid not our sin debt, but the sin debt of the world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That goes all the way back to Adam and all the way until he comes. He's paid for everything. Amen? Past, present, future. It's done. So the sinless Son of God, who knew no sin, he did something. He took your place. We know it very well. He took my place. He took the sinner's place on the cross. But he was without sin. Jesus said in John 10:14, he says, I am the good shepherd. The next verse he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, I think it's 9:26, that by one sacrifice he took away the sins, our sins, forever and ever and ever and ever. One of my favorite verses that I share with you every communion service, Psalm 103:12. He has taken away our sins, so removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Amen? They're gone. They don't belong to you anymore. He has paid our sin debt. Matter of fact, he's taken them away so far, God made a promise to every believer in Hebrews 10:17. He says, I will never remember your sins again. Oh, he knows about them. It literally means your sins will never be held against you again because my son has paid for them. Amen? What a word that is. Listen, what does that mean? It means since Jesus was manifested to take away our sin and we are now in Christ, it means that our spiritual position right this minute in this world is absolutely perfect before God the Father. Absolutely perfect. Remember what it says, that word means, in other words, when you come to Christ, remember that big word, justification? Okay, that means, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. What did he make him? Sin. Think about that. Sin. The one who knew no sin, God said, I'm pouring the sin of the world upon you. You're going to experience all of that. You're going to experience what sin is. You're going to experience what sin has done. You're going to pay the sin debt of the entire world. God says, I'm laying it on you, son. You're going to bear the sin of mankind. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. God treated, you heard me say it so many times, God treated his only begotten son as if he had sinned all the sins of all mankind that was laid upon him. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Meaning we are now in God's eyes. Our position is absolutely perfect. Why? Because of the great doctrine of justification. Meaning just as if we had never, never sinned. And because of that, and yes we do, that's our position, not our practice. Amen? Okay, so now when you're in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no judgment, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. But listen very carefully. There is a huge difference between justification and sanctification. And I want to stop right there. Listen to me. God does not sanctify anyone that he does not justify. Do you understand? That is so important to know that. So justification and sanctification, huge difference. Remember that justification, the doctrine of justification, is something that happens to us. Not in us, but to us. It's a one-time event. It's a fact where God declares the believing sinner who said, Jesus, be my Lord, as if he had never sinned because Jesus paid his sin debt. So that justification is imputation to where God says, okay, here I am, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. And what does God the Father do in heaven? He takes Jesus' spotless, sinless, perfect record. He imputes it over into your account, if you will, the spotless, sinless record of Christ, and it becomes yours. That's unbelievable. As if you had never sinned. Did Jesus ever sin? No. That is your position. So justification is imputation, but sanctification is transformation. So again, justification is something that happens to us, and justification delivers every Christian from the penalty of sin. Amen? In other words, your penalty's been paid. Your sin debt's been paid. Sanctification is not something that happens one time. Sanctification is something that happens in you, in me, and it's a transformation. It's an ongoing process, and sanctification is what delivers you, delivers me from the power of sin in our life. Amen? We are being conformed into the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it says in Romans 6:17, but thank be to God that you were slaves of sin. We're not slaves of sin anymore, but yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which you were delivered, meaning we believed the good news, we trusted Christ as our Lord, and having been set free from sin, meaning the old Billy, our old nature, having been set free from him, he's our old master, you became slaves of righteousness. What does that mean? It means sanctification started in you. That process of going from glory to glory into the image of Jesus started the moment that you were saved. And it says, and I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, but just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of, there's that word, lawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness to holiness. Now listen very carefully about what sin does, what sin is, how to conquer sin, and all of that. The fact of the matter is, no matter what the world says, no matter what anyone says, no matter what any other religion in the world may say, there is only one answer for the lawless heart in a human. And that is Jesus Christ. There's no other. Listen, and today they tell you all kinds of things. You can, you know, like for example, education. Wouldn't it be great if education improved us? I mean, we get a little smarter, okay? But wouldn't it be incredible if we went to school and it says, we're going to teach you how to never sin. And when you walk out of here, you know what? You're going to be sinless. You'll never sin again. Oh, give me the diploma, baby. You know what I'm saying? Amen? Does that happen? No, education can't do it. How about science? You know, it says trust science. It's like I told the first service, we're going to get some paddles that says true or false. You know what science tells us? Science, you know, they dissect everything and they say, okay, listen, man's not a sinner. Man has they have a disease. They're just sick. They need treatment. Well, what treatment? You know what I mean? What treatment? I can't even read a science book and understand it. I mean, come on. No. How about psychology? Now, there's nothing wrong, I guess, with psychology. I mean, you know, there's therapists today on every corner, every kind of therapist. Don't you agree? But can they take away your sin? No. How about legislation? Can legislation take away? Can we pass enough laws? Can we pass a law that says it's against the law to sin? You ever see that one on the freeway? Listen, I break laws on the freeway. I am lawless on the freeway. I have a heavy foot on the freeway. And Lord, I repent when I'm driving 75 in the slow lane. Because if you don't drive 75 in the slow lane, they're going to shoot you. Why? They're lawless. Never mind. So what's the cure? Well, we have to abide in the right person, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. Because Jesus is our only hope. Now, whoever abides in him, in Christ, does not sin. Wow, singular. Now here comes a plural. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Wow. Whoever abides in him. Now listen to me. That is more than just a spiritual position for the believer, okay? Man, this is a living, a real living connection, a real union. He is the vine. We are the branches. We draw all of our strength, all of our nourishment from his life. Amen? No one can live the Christian life apart from Christ Jesus. No one. Now, with all that being said, it says, look at it, whoever abides in him does not sin. Wow. And I would go to myself when I read that when I was a younger Christian, and I'm going, okay, now wait a minute. I know I got saved. I know I'm different. But I also know that sometimes I sin. And it just said, whoever abides in him does not sin. And I would pray. And I say, Lord, I must not be abiding. Because I know I'm blowing it, Lord. What am I going to do with this scripture? Now listen, it's very important that when you read that scripture to understand what it means and what it doesn't mean, okay? This scripture right here does not mean in any way that a Christian will never sin. They don't want to sin, but it doesn't mean we will never sin. Amen? And how do we know that, though? We know it because we go back and read what John told us. I want you to just do this. Go back to verse 8 of chapter 1. And look what it says here. If we say we have no sin, meaning our sin nature, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our what? Our sins. Oh, gosh. He's faithful, just to forgive us our sin, cleanse for all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word's not in us. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin, may not. I don't want you to sin. You don't want to sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now listen very carefully. Whoever abides in him, and what are those next three words? Say it with me. Does not sin. Now listen, here's what I want you to remember. In the original language, that is present tense continuous. It means you do not, anyone that abides in him does not have an ongoing, completely day in, day out, completely lifestyle of sin. In other words, where sin is your delight and sin is the ruling principle of your life. And if it is, look what he says, whoever sins, and that's that word harmatia again, it's plural, present tense continuous, whoever sins, watch, has never seen him. Seen him how? With the eye of faith. In other words, I know he's real. I don't see him, yet I believe. I'm born again. He said, no, you've never seen him. Not only that, you have never known Jesus. The word known, remember, gnosko, it's not speaking of a fact, it's speaking of an experience based on fact, if you will. In other words, you have never experienced the new birth. So whoever lives, says, hey, I'm a Christian, blah, 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 but lives an ongoing habitual lifestyle of sin, is living proof they are not a real child of God. Now, does that mean, again, that we never sin? Does it mean that the real children of God never end up in a pig pen? Can they end up in a pig pen? Yes, loved one, they can. But a Christian, a true believer, may end up in a pig pen, okay? But they will not remain in the pig pen. Why? Only pigs remain in a pig pen, not sons and daughters. Amen? Now, listen very carefully. How in the world does a Christian get in the pig pen? Is it his new nature that gets him in a pig pen? No, it's the old nature that gets you into a pig pen, because the old nature is a slave to sin, loves sin, doesn't know why. Because that's in Adam. But the new nature is what gets you out of the pig pen. Amen? What did the prodigal son, what happened to him? He was in the pig pen. He knew he was in the pig pen. And what did he do? It says, he came to himself. He says, I will arise and go to my Father. That's exactly what every true, real child of God does when they say, how did I get here? Oh, God. Look what happened. Look at me. I'm covered with junk. I'm covered with sin. Can I come home? See, that's the real nature of God in you. Amen? See, if you don't have that, they'll stay in the pig pen. That's why he says in verse 7, watch. Little children, let no one deceive you. Now he's talking about false teachers as well. Let no one deceive you. He who practices, that's an ongoing habitual lifestyle of righteousness, is righteous, just as he, meaning Jesus, is righteous. He who sins or continually practices sins as a lifestyle is of the devil. Boy, is that a tough word? Is of the devil. Did you know this is a command here? Let no one deceive you. John gives a command. He says to the real children of God in every generation, he says, listen, I'm warning you not to be deceived. I am warning you never to be led astray. Led astray about what? Well, it was what the false teachers were doing. The Gnostics were denying that a believer had to be righteous or live a righteous kind of life. You don't have to walk in the light. You don't have to walk as he light. You know, they were teaching then, and some even today, that you're so forgiven in Christ that, man, listen, you can do things even that God's word forbids you to do. Just do it. It's okay because you're saved. You're okay. No, listen, false teachers like that, are they of the wicked one? Boy, listen, they are. They have good news in their mouths, but they have the devil in their hearts. And boy, you got to watch out for that. John Chrysostom said this, to sin is human, but to persevere in sin is not human. Or to continue in sin is not human. It is altogether satanic. That's why it says it again. And look at verse 8 about those who practice righteousness are of God and he who continuously practices an ongoing, unending lifestyle of sin is of the devil. Now listen, this is not my word, this is God's word, amen? No pastor and no Christian should ever water down this word, or we should never even soften it. He who sins is of the devil. What does that mean? It means the people in the world that are not lost, but if a Christian does this, dear Lord, it means, loved one, that if a Christian or anyone who practices a lifestyle of sin, number one, they imitate the devil, they agree with the devil, whether they know it or not, and they even live life like the devil, which is lawlessness, and lawlessness is sin. It's opposed to God. It means you are now an enemy of God. It says they are Satan's children, but listen very carefully. I want to save you from a false doctrine now. It says they were Satan's spiritual children. John did not say that they were born of the devil, did it? Did it say that? No, it says there is of the devil. In other words, the reason that they're like that is because of their birth in Adam, if you will, okay? And so it denotes the source. So he says here, don't be deceived. Satan does something. He governs all those whose lifestyle is sin. Remember in Matthew 13:38, what did Jesus call the saved people, the good seed? He called us wheat, remember? But he called the bad seed in the soil, he called them tares. He called the tares are the sons of the wicked one. And do you know what he does, the devil, what he does to those that don't know Christ? In Ephesians 2:2, it says this. He says, the spirit or the fallen angel, demons, which is Satan, who now works. That's an important word. Satan works. That word in Greek is gives energy to. Satan gives energy to dead minds and dead hearts and dead people, meaning that are spiritually dead. He works in the sons of disobedience. Satan doesn't give birth to the sons of disobedience. That came from Adam. But what he does, the prince of disobedience, he now starts working in the sons of disobedience. And I'm going to tell you something. We know what happened when we were lost. But whenever Satan finds a Christian, they're not knowledgeable of God's word. They're floating in Christianity. They're not grounded. They're not rooted. They're not studying. They're not praying. They're just floating. Boy, when Satan finds a Christian like that, that they've been made alive by the power of God, and he sees them act and live and think like dead lost, lifeless, unregenerate man, ooh, he takes pleasure in that. He feeds you then. You're getting your nourishment from the wrong source, loved one. Man, listen, have you ever noticed that the devil, when you're tempted, he always has the right answer? He always has the right answer. If you've got problems in your life, he has the right answer for every problem that you face. The problem is they are not God's answers. They are his answers, and Satan is always a liar. Amen? Very important. Now, look at verse 8 again. It says, for the devil has done something. The devil has sinned from the what? From the beginning. So if he has sinned from the beginning, it means he is the source and the originator of sin. And it also means he never ceases to sin, because sin is his love, his nourishment, if you will. Now, some of you may not know this, but you see, a lot of people believe that sin began in the garden. That's not where sin began. Sin did not begin on earth. Sin began in heaven before the earth ever was. Amazing, isn't it? In other words, I encourage you to do something. Later on today, read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, and Ezekiel 28, 11 and following. Isaiah 14, 12, Ezekiel 28 and 11 and following. And you'll find out that the devil, you remember what his name was? It was Lucifer. Son of the morning, the day star, you know? And what did he do? He led praise up and before the throne of God. God says, oh, you were perfect in your beauty until sin was found in you. Go study out in Isaiah the five I wills of Satan when he was in heaven. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. He wanted the throne of God. God said, that ain't going to happen. And what did he do? Did God cast him out of heaven? Yes, he did. And did the devil, it seems, take about a third of the angels with him? Amen? And now they are the demons. Now, Jesus told us all about the devil in John 8:44. He was talking to the religious leaders, the Jews. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. And what they wanted to do was kill Jesus, remember? And it says, and you know, he, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. That's what he did. When he deceived Eve was deceived, Adam gave his authority away. Man, spiritual death and sin now reign forever from all through mankind. He says, and he does not stand in the truth. And in the Greek, that would mean he once stood in the truth, meaning in heaven, but then he didn't want to. He left heaven. He doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of all lies. So Jesus came to the earth, number one, to take away our sins. Number two, to destroy the works of the devil. Look at it in verse 8 again. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now listen carefully. The devil's sin and the devil's work are two different things. It's important to know that. And for those who are listening, say on the radio, and you're saying, oh, you know what, there's no such thing as the devil, you're wrong. There really is a devil, the Bible says it. Amen? And you know what? The devil delights to be denied. Oh, he loves that. And there's no way around it, loved one. Now look at it again, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of Man, or Son of God, I love that because this is the only time that John uses the full title of Jesus, the Son of God, his full title, his deity. He says, he was manifested, yes, to take away our sins, we already learned that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus told us what those works are in John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the thief, the devil, he comes to steal and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? That's what he does. So Jesus said, listen, I've come to have life. The devil's come to rip off your life. He's come to destroy you. And the word destroy doesn't mean to annihilate when he says destroy the works of the devil, but he means to render them inoperative. It means to loose those who are in bondage. And that's what Jesus did. Listen, who had the power over death before Jesus went to the cross? The devil. Remember? What did it say in Hebrews 2:9? That Jesus, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for how many people? everyone. He tasted death. Verse 14 of Hebrews 2. And he destroyed him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. He took all of that away from him, if you will. Okay, how did he do it? He did it on the cross. Praise the Lord. Colossians, what? Is it 2:15? Jesus, having disarmed or stripping the devil, all the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. He paraded them around, exposed them, triumphing over them in it, meaning the cross. Listen to what John Stott says. He says, if then the whole purpose of Christ first appearing was to remove sins and undo the works of the devil, listen carefully, Christians must not compromise with either sin or the devil, or they will find themselves fighting against Christ. Man, what a word is that? Look at verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now let's stop right there. When I was a baby Christian, all I did was read my Bible. I didn't know anything. Every night I would read the entire book of Acts. Every night. I loved the book of Acts. And back then there was no cell phones and internet and, the Confederate War just ended. And you know what I'm trying to say. And there was none of those things. And so I was in college, and man, I was on fire for the Lord. And I was learning, just reading and reading and reading. And in the apartment complex that I worked at, I was like the, they gave me a free room because I painted the apartments and cleaned them when people moved out. Amen? Okay. So I would, at night I would finish all that up. And I would go into my refrigerator. And back then, I had a big mason jar. Remember those mason jars? I'd fill it full of ice and pour iced tea in it. I'd get in the bed with my Bible and I'd read over and over and over. But every time I came to this verse, it killed me. And I look at it. Whoever is born again, whoever, Jesus is the Lord of their life. They've been changed. They know they're changed. Whoever has been born of God, what? Does not sin. Look at the other one. It says, he cannot sin. Listen. Can I tell you that terrified me? I read that and I did. I would go, Lord, listen, you know what I thought today. When I looked, Lord, you know. And I'd go to my new Christian friends and I'd say, what do you think about this verse, man? And they go, don't read it to me. I said, no, you got to help me. And he says, I'm still trying to quit drinking. Leave me alone, Or I'm living with my girlfriend. And I'm going, shut up. I need some answers here. Maybe I'm not born again. Do you understand? How can I be born again? And it says, I don't sin. I cannot sin. That scripture can scare you if you don't know what it means. Now, look at it again. Whoever has been born of God does not, and let's look at it in the Greek. Anyone who has been born of God does not live a continuous, ongoing, complete, habitual life of sin. Amen? Very, very important that you get that right there. Listen, 1 John 5:1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay? But then it also says, does not sin, cannot sin. Now listen, real children of God, do they sin? Yes, we just read 1 John 1:8 and all the way to chapter 2, verse 1. Amen? Now, but here's the problem. Yes, we sin. We don't want to sin. We do sin. But we can never live in an ongoing, habitual, continual lifestyle of sin. It says he cannot sin. Why? Why can we say that? We just can't keep doing it. God gives us the answer. He said, look at it. His seed, what? Okay, his seed, once imparted, remains or lives where? That means it lives in you eternally, okay? It means, Colossians 1:27, Christ in me. Now, Christ is not going to get out of you. He has you, amen? Christ in me, the hope of glory. So his seed remains in me. Not only that, his seed is, of course, our Lord. It's also the Holy Spirit. When we come to Christ, the moment we're saved, does the Holy Spirit save us, seal us until the very day of redemption? Yes. What's the other, when it says his seed? Well, is God's word alive? When it's put into the soil of someone's heart, does it change us? Yes, it does. So his seed is also the living word of God. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, and then Peter says, not of corruptible seed. Corruptible seed, that was our first birth. That's when we were born on the earth and we were born in Adam, okay, fallen. He says, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now listen, your new birth, our new birth, nothing, absolutely nothing can ruin, corrupt the new birth that we have. Amen? We are sealed man forever. How about one more scripture on that? John 1:18. It says, of his own will, God's own will, he brought us forth. He saved us. How? By the word of truth. His word of truth. What did Paul write? Romans 1:16-17. What did he say? I'm not ashamed. Amen. Is that what it is? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto to whoever believes, to the Jew first and unto the Gentile. Verse 17, and the just shall live by faith. Man, we are born from above, loved one. Listen, whenever the old nature, does it sin? Yes, we're dragging this old man around. He's still in Adam. We reckon him dead, but he's not dead. We have to, by faith, we say, no, he's dead. You can't control Bill anymore. Do you understand? Okay, so the old nature will sin, but the divine nature, the new nature, which is God's seed, partakers of his divine nature, cannot sin. It can't. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. We become one with God. Do you hear me? Whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We are sons and daughters of God. So our war is not with the new man. The war is with our old man. Amen? You know, the flesh, does it lust against the spirit? Is it contrary one to another? Yes. So there's an ongoing war, loved one, all of the time. Yeah. And listen to me. A Christian, I say this in deep love. But you know what today? Christians, they feel free. They feel free. I'm saved. I've got my fire insurance. I can do anything I want to in my life. I can live without the benefit of marriage. I love her. I've said, God, I love her. She loves me. We're married in your eyes. We don't need a piece of paper. We're living together. Bull. And here's what happens. Okay, you're born again. And you know what happens when you lay beside that man and you lay beside that woman at night after you've done whatever you do and you get ready to go to sleep. You know what you're doing? Oh, God, forgive me. I know I'm wrong. I know I'm in sin. I know I'm sinning. And you are not happy. You are not at peace, and you will never be at peace. Why? Because his seed remains in you, and it's tormenting the hell out of you. Amen? And that's what it does. And that's when you'll finally say, enough of it. We're going to go get married. We're going to get straight. I can't live like this any longer. Amen? Listen, I have married people that got up out of the chair in the middle of a Sunday service, and they walked up to me when I preached something like that and said, we want to be married right now. Here's my marriage license. And you were here. Rebecca, did I marry them? She's shaking. Yes, you did. Yeah. Verse 10, in this, by this, literally, by this the children of Theos, God, and the children of Diablos, the children of the devil, are what? Manifest, made clear, made evident, clearly seen. In this, the children of God, the children of the devil, are manifest. Whoever does not practice the ongoing lifestyle of righteousness, you don't belong to God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Now, there's going to be those maybe here, I hope not, but I guarantee you that are listening on the radio and are live, and they're going to write me. They're going to say, preacher, shut up. They're going to say, who do you think you are? If you can say that I'm a child of the devil, who do you think you are? And I'm going, I don't think I'm anyone. But I'm going to tell you this, sir. That's not my word. This is the word of the living God. And God loves us so much. Listen, he wants everyone, he wants his truth to all mankind. You are either a child of God or you are a child of the wicked one. No, I'm not. I'm an atheist. What are you going to do about that? You're a child of the devil. What are you going to do about that? I'm a tree hugger. What the heck is that? You know? Man, listen, I know who I am. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I put crystals, they shine in my car. The sun hits them and it kind of reflects who I am. You're a child of the devil. But I started humming. Doesn't work. You're a child of the devil. I am an evolutionist. No, you're okay, you can be a monkey. But no, you're an agnostic. No, listen. You're either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. Amen? Now listen to me. I want you to leave here and I want you to think about this because we're going to pick up next Sunday, the Lord willing, if we're still here. God did something and we need to really understand it and believe it. God divides the entire human race from the beginning, from Adam until right now. He divides the entire human race only into two families. There is no middle ground. You are either in Adam and all die, or you are either in Christ. And if there is no fruit, you call yourself a Christian, and there's no fruit in your life, you better check the root. Do you understand? No, listen, you either have been made alive by the Spirit, or you're dead in trespasses and sins. God wants everyone saved. You know, so if you're a child of the devil, hell's going to be your home, man. And listen, that's your choice. It's your choice, not God. It's you. And you need to remember this. Jesus loves you. God loves you so much. Jesus came from heaven to this earth to take away your sins. And not only that, he came to heaven to earth to destroy the works of the devil. He did it for you. If you don't know Christ, he did it for you. He's already done it for me, but he's done it for you. If you don't know, Jesus said, listen, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the devil, oh boy. You know what Jesus said about coming to him? John 5:40. He said, you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something as I close about the devil. The father of every lie, he wants to do something to you. If you don't know Jesus, listen to me now. He comes to steal. What does he want to steal? He wants to steal your mind. He wants you to think like the world. He wants you to act like the world. He wants you to live like the world. Do you understand? So he comes to steal your mind. But he also comes to do something else. He comes to steal your heart. He wants to steal your very soul. But real children of the devil can become children of God. If that's you, this is your moment to be set free. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Ask Christ right now. Ask Christ to come into your heart. Ask Christ to save you, and he will.
Thanks, everyone, for beginning your week with us. Pastor Bill's First John series will continue on Love Never Fails next Sunday, and we look forward to seeing you once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, have a wonderful week. So long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.